Let's be coming to God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word to us. And we pray, even at this late time of evening, we pray that you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts, that we would hear what you have to say to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back on Christmas Eve in 1865, a vicar by the name of Philip Brooks travelled on horseback between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And it was following this six-mile journey that Brooks took the inspiration to write the famous Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Now, when Brooks arrived in Bethlehem, he joined the Christmas Eve service, which was going on. It started at 10 p.m. and it finished at 3 a.m. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to be going on quite that long this evening. But what I do want to do in these few moments together is to consider the significance of Bethlehem to the Christmas story. O Little Town of Bethlehem, it's one of the most well-known, famous carols. If you've been to a carol service, you may have heard the reading from Micah that we heard a few moments ago. It's a reading that makes a prediction over 700 years before Jesus' birth that a coming ruler would be born in Bethlehem. And tonight we are going to look at that prophecy to see why that birth all those years ago in Bethlehem is such good news for us today. But before we get into it, let me say something very briefly about Micah. You may never have read the book. Micah was a prophet between 735 and 700 BC. You can get those dates from chapter 1, verse 1 of the book. Micah lived during a time which was very bad for God's people. The kingdom of Judah, God's people, was in decline. It was a time of internal corruption and external threat. Verse 1 of chapter 5 probably refers to the time when the Assyrian army came right up to the walls of Jerusalem and laid a siege in 701 BC. They were dark days to live in for God's people. And yet, into that context, Micah tells of this coming ruler to Bethlehem, the one whose birth we celebrate tomorrow. So from this prophecy, brief introduction aside, let's see three things about the one born in Bethlehem at Christmas. Number one, he came to humble us. He came to humble us. We see that in the choice of Jesus' birthplace. Have a listen to verse 2 again. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Now back then, there were two places called Bethlehem. Micah is very specific about which one he's talking about. Bethlehem Ephrathah. That's been a bit of a tongue twister at the carol services through the ages. What was significant, though, about Bethlehem Ephrathah? Well, its significance lies in its insignificance. It was small among the clans of Judah, small being an adjective of quality. Back in the annals of Israel's history, it hadn't even been mentioned in the list of places allotted when God's people came into the Promised Land back in Joshua. Bethlehem was a bit of a backwater, just south of Jerusalem. It was looked down upon. Let's try and think of a modern equivalent today. Slightly dangerous, perhaps. In the UK, have you got any ideas? What is the worst place to live? Well, according to a 2024 survey, it's Slough. Always gets a bad press, doesn't it? Followed by Luton. My apologies if you're from either of those places. When I was growing up, I lived in Hull. It used to be the bottom of most of these lists. But at school, well, most people in Hull prided themselves on the fact that they weren't from Lincolnshire. Across the Humber, are there even roads down there? Well, when you think of places that are the butt of jokes, think Bethlehem back then. Small, insignificant. And that's the point. You see, this promised ruler didn't come to Athens or Rome or Jerusalem. He didn't come to the city of culture. He didn't come to the prettiest chocolate box village. He wasn't born in a five-star hotel with a birthing pool. No. He came somewhere insignificant, so that no one could boast. So no one could boast, he came to my city because we're so great. So no one could boast, he came to my stately home because I've done so well in life. No. God chose somewhere small, quiet, and out of the way. That's where he chose to do something that changed the course of history. But why was that? Well, when God works like this, it means we cannot boast in the merit of man, but only in the mercy of God. In his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29, Paul puts it like this. He says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." You see, the little town of Bethlehem shows us that God did not send his son to reflect man's glory or greatness, but purely because of his mercy. And in that we come close to the essence of the gospel, the good news of the Christian faith. You see, Jesus came to offer us forgiveness. He came to offer us eternal life. And that is not something that you or I can achieve. It's only something we can receive. And so tonight, if you're here and you recognize that you're a sinner, that you need God's forgiveness, well, this is the most wonderful news. Because as the carol puts it, "But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." You see, firstly, the one born in Bethlehem, he came to humble us. Secondly, he came to fulfill God's promises. You see, there's more to see in verse 2 of this chapter. In verse 2, Micah says, "Out of you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." In fact, it's God speaking in that verse, in verse 2. And some see in these enigmatic words a hint that this king to come was more than simply a human figure, whose origins are from of old, can be translated from days of eternity. There may be a hint of Christ's deity here. But the big point, I think, is that this language of a ruler of Israel coming from Bethlehem, whose origins are from of old, well, this is all pointing us back to the greatest Old Testament king, King David. If you know the story of David, he'd been from Bethlehem. He'd been a ruler in Israel, and he was a shepherd. We'll come on to that in verse 4. But here's the point. Earlier in the Bible, God had made great promises to David, that his descendants would rule over God's people forever. And yet in Micah's day, David's dynasty was in a downward spiral. Because of its sin, it had turned its back on God. In verse 3, Micah says, "Israel will be abandoned." A little over 100 years after this prophecy, Jerusalem was destroyed. God's people were taken into exile. What then of God's promises? The promise he'd made to David? Was God done with his people? Was it time for God to wash his hands with them? Well, no. Look at verse 3. "Therefore, Israel will be abandoned, until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. Does that sound familiar at all? Any famous babies born in Bethlehem? Well, the New Testament makes it clear that the Jews of Jesus' day were expecting the Messiah, God's coming king, to be born in Bethlehem. And by the time of Caesar's decree, when Joseph and Mary had gone to Bethlehem for the census, over 700 years had passed since this prophecy. Such a long wait. Generation after generation had come and gone. Simeon, Anna, Zechariah, Elizabeth were the latest in a long line waiting for this moment, for the baby to be born in Bethlehem, when the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Do you see what this baby born in Bethlehem shows us? Well, it shows us that God hadn't given up on his people. Despite their sin, despite their rebellion against him, God hadn't abandoned his promises. God wasn't like a child screwing up a piece of paper because their drawing went wrong and throwing it in the bin to start over again. No, Christmas shows us God's commitment to keeping his promises. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, perhaps you're not sure what you think about the Bible, about the Christian faith. What can I say to you? No one can make predictions like this and be confident that they will come to pass in 700 years. Down to the details, Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection had been predicted by multiple different authors in the Old Testament, writing independently of one another. And it's critical because Jesus came claiming to be the only way to heaven. It's not something to be agnostic about, to sit on the fence about. So can I urge you, if you're not sure, let 2025 be the year that you'll look into it for yourself. And for those of us who are Christians, well, we need to know that God keeps his promises. 2024 may have been a difficult year for you. You may feel like you're struggling to hold on to Christ at Christmas. Well, if that's you, let Micah remind you, God keeps his promises. This one took 700 years, but God always keeps his promises. Why do we need to know that tonight? Well, thirdly, because the baby born at Bethlehem, he came to bring us peace. Verses 4 and 5. Let me read these verses. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. What does all this show us about the baby born at Bethlehem? What does all this show us ultimately about Jesus? He will stand. Other kings, other rulers, they come and go. This one doesn't. He endures. He will shepherd. This king won't leave his people to fend for themselves. His mantra isn't throw them in, let's see if they sink or swim. No, Micah points us to the one who is the great shepherd of his sheep, the shepherd and guardian of our souls, the chief shepherd who leads us to springs of living water. And this shepherd governs in the Lord's strength. See, Jesus is not some figurehead or political puppet. He shepherds his people, his flock, with omnipotent strength and majesty, with the power that created the world. And as a result, Micah says, he will keep his people safe. They will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The strength of his rule guarantees the safety of his people. on this point very briefly, let me say this isn't a guarantee that Christians won't suffer in this life. If you look at the history of the church, the experience of Christians across the globe, we see that's not true. No, what this is a promise for the future ultimately, when his greatness will have reached to the ends of the earth. But until then, well, the Bible does tell us that the Good Shepherd will not lose any of his sheep. It's about the sort of leader deep down we all long to follow. The sort of leader that deep down we all long for. And then in verse 5, we see that he himself will be our peace. Well, Christmas Day has just arrived. I wonder what your hopes are for the day. Great presents, for the food to go well, good family dynamics. Well, let me say, there will inevitably be disappointments today. Let me ask you, on Christmas Day, are you looking for fulfillment in the right place? You see, true and lasting peace comes from knowing Christ. This little phrase in verse 5, he will be our peace, points us in different wonderful directions. We don't have time to go into them now. Let me say briefly, it points us to that final peace at the end of history when the Lord returns. See a glimpse of that in Micah chapter 4. This little phrase, he will be our peace, points us towards the peace that God brings as he reconciles different peoples. You see a hint of that in verse 3 in our passage. Paul picks up on the phrase in Ephesians chapter 2. But fundamentally, he will be our peace, points us to the peace that Jesus came to bring between us and God. You see, Jesus was born in Bethlehem because he came on a rescue mission. He was the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. We'll remember that in a moment as we come to communion, that he came to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so, for those who put their trust in him, as Paul said to the Romans, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what's on offer this Christmas. If you turn to Jesus, then you can know his peace too. And that is the best news this Christmas. Whatever Christmas Day might bring today, peace with God, won through the baby born at Bethlehem. Let me close with these words of the carol as our prayer. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.